Shelby, you feeling better?
Way better.
You're back in the land of the living?
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Wow, it's been a crazy time this month with a lot going on. But God is faithful and God is good. Amen.
And
glad to see all of you. Thank you. Brian and Jen are here today.
Actually, it's better with that white screen because you can see you better, but the bricks are kind of blend in like a chameleon.
Oh, really? that's a beautiful screen, isn't it? Screen's not so bad, it's a holder. But we figured out we can't move it to many more Sundays or it's
going
to it's starting to collapse on us, so we just, God is good. Can we make, are y'all comfortable with the tent?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we can leave the door open, but if it starts to warm up in a few minutes, we might need to close that. We got to figure out a way to unlock that door while we're here. I don't know if that's possible. Somehow we have to open it. Some of you are asking, William is in Dallas for the Power and Love Conference with Lifestyle University. So he'll be back. He gets back Tuesday, and we have some others that are out. But anyway. We're just glad you're here. Let's just get on into the Word. I just want to bring a word to you today and believe God with me today. I know it's going to sound strange, but if you, not the word I'm going to bring you, but if you see a little, what do they call those?
Microphone?
Yeah, the little microphone phone cover over there. I don't know where it is. So if you see it, you'll go, what is this funny little thing? It doesn't belong on the end of your child's finger. It belongs up here somewhere. If you just see it, help me out there. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Well, we've been talking about faith, obviously, a lot the last few weeks. And I want to talk to you today about a faith that does not fail.
Oh, amen.
Amen. I think we could all say there's been a point where maybe our faith ran out, or our faith kind of like fizzled out before we got to the finish line. Anybody with me? We've all been there for various things we were believing for or standing for whatever reason. But if you really will take an honest assessment, if you're still walking with God, you'll find even in those situations where, let's be honest, usually we disappoint ourselves, right? We disappoint ourselves that we didn't have what it took to get to the other side of the lake, you know? But at the same time, we understand when you look back on it, your faith didn't fail.
That's
it.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. Your faith did not fail. So that's really important for us to remember that as we go forward. We've talked about the faith to receive the grace of God. How many of you can't get saved without faith?
That's right.
Amen? Hello?
Yeah.
You can't get saved without faith. You can't receive the Holy Spirit without faith. You can't walk in the Holy Spirit without faith.
Right.
That requires you to walk in faith. The promises of God are received by faith. Right? Amen?
Amen.
We receive the promises of God by faith. And the scripture says clearly the righteous or the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Now notice that. We talk about faith. A lot of times we know about applying faith to get something or receive something or believe God for something. But we're supposed to live by faith.
That's right.
I know I shared this a few weeks ago when my prophetic overseer, Bob Anderson, spoke to me. And I'd shared a victory with him. You know, that we had gotten, I think it was when we had gotten the building we used to have in Tempe. And I said, man, I feel like we've been walking up on the water. And he said, no, you're going to always be walking on the water, right?
Amen.
You're always going to be walking by faith. Amen?
Amen.
And so if we understand that, we can get to that place where we, and that doesn't mean you don't ever have any victories. It just means there's always something to walk in faith for.
Yes.
Because we don't live in a world that is friendly for us to walk in the kingdom of God. Right? Yeah, this is not a Christian-friendly world we live in. And so we need to understand that. But here's the thing I want you to get today. Again, I'm not trying to be redundant, but I just feel like the Lord won't let me go on this topic for the next week or so, is that we've all been given a measure of faith.
Yeah.
And I used to think that measure was like, well, that guy's got great faith. Then I began to realize he had the same measure of faith I did. But he did develop his faith. Amen? He grew stronger in his faith. How many of you know, it's kind of like a muscle.
Yeah.
If your faith is never used, it atrophies.
That's right.
Right? But if you'll use it, it'll develop and it'll get stronger. Because
right.
It's not about the size of your faith. It's about using your faith.
Right. Yeah.
And that's true with anything in the kingdom. It's called stewardship.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
If you can be faithful with the little thing, even your little measure of faith, your faith will develop into a greater faith.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And the great part is this, is God says if you and I will engage our faith to believe him, he will give us a spirit of faith.
Amen.
Which gives us the courage and the endurance to go and do everything God's called us to do. Amen? So with that, we kind of better understand where we're at. So when we activate our faith, but probably my favorite passage is, we're to live from faith
to faith.
And the meaning there in the Greek is, you're going to go from faith to faith to faith to faith. You're always going to be believing God for something, and you should be. How many of the promises of God are yes and amen, but are any of us walking in all of them fully?
Right.
Hope we're not, because we're in sad shape if that's the case.
Yeah.
But God has so much more for us to believe for. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be a believer that's not an unbelieving believer.
Right.
I want to be a believer that pleases God.
Yes.
So I want to talk to you about that today, the faith that pleases God. In Luke 22, I'm going to look at a verse there in a moment if you want to turn there. In Luke 22, it was at Passover, and Jesus is initiating the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion or whatever you want to call it. Well, not whatever you want to call it, but anyway. He initiates it there, and he's preparing his disciples. He's preparing his disciples for his soon coming betrayal and the trial, the crucifixion, and his death. And I mean, he's preparing them for this. And, you know, you got to understand something, guys. These guys had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They walked with the Son of God. They saw the glory. They saw the miracles. And now he's going to depart.
Yeah.
And then he says something about, you're going to have a new friend. The Helper, right? He's going to come. Your friend, your comforter. And he's going to be with you. And it's just an amazing thing when you think about it. The shift that they had to make in the way they related to him.
Yeah.
And he actually said, it's better for you that I go away. Remember that?
Yeah.
But at this point, he's getting his disciples ready, and he knows something. He knows something about Peter, because he knows Peter, who was probably the boldest of all the disciples.
Yeah.
And yet he said, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me 3 times. And of course, that riled Peter up, because don't tell Peter he's going to do something that he doesn't want to do, right? And he says to him in Luke 22, if you look at verse 31 with me, he says, now at the time, he still called him Simon. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your what?
Faith.
Your faith may not fail. And you, when once you've turned again, will strengthen your brothers. So that your faith will not fail. Can y'all read that? We have a little thing that puts Jesus' words in red. But is it? You can still read it? Okay, all right. I'm colorblind, so. How many of you found this out? Many times after you take a stand in faith for something, the enemy will try to sift you from it.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. He'll try to sift you out and try to sift you from what you're believing for. And this is not about redundancy, but we've got to get this. James says, therefore, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your what? Your faith produces endurance. And let endurance do a work in you. And here's the result. You'll be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. Hallelujah. So I mean, I'm not saying like devil bring it on. But what I am saying is I'm going to count it joy. Because I know God is building something in me. Would I rather have instant faith on everything I prayed for? Yeah. I'm an American. I want it now, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm a westernized person. But there's something about what God wants to do with the endurance that's actually for our better. It brings us to a better place. I mean, if everything was just instant, we wouldn't be committed to anything.
That's right.
We couldn't handle any tough times. Yeah, we couldn't handle anything that would come against us to resist us. Mm-hmm. Amen?
That's good, yeah.
Now, Jesus, knowing what Peter was going to go through and that he would deny him, he also tells Peter that he was praying for him, that he would return. That's important. I want you to see that. Jesus reveals the heart of a loving and a faithful intercessor. Everybody knows he forever lives to intercede, right?
Yeah.
But he's revealing it even there, because the scripture says he forever lives to intercede now, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's an intercessor. But he showed us the Father's heart. He taught about it. Remember when the prodigal started to come home? His father saw him from afar. Remember that?
Yeah.
He saw him from afar and ran to him. And to me, and the point of what I'm seeing is, that's again the heart of an intercessor.
Yeah.
It's a heart of love, and it's a heart of faith, and believing that faith will not fail. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage you today, because we've all been in a place where we would feel like, because our faith seemingly failed, that we are disqualified. Kind of like, how can I dare start to try to believe again, right?
Right.
I've been that way sometimes on something, for example, maybe something I prayed about and I didn't do well getting over something physically, a sickness or whatever, and then like the next time I almost felt intimidated to even pray.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Yeah. To even pray to believe, be healed. I've been healed so many times by God's power. And so, y'all with me?
Yeah.
So it's important for us to remember that. Peter, always remember this, Peter was not yet born again. First of all, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross, right? Peter was not yet born again. Peter was not filled with the Holy Spirit at this time. We have to understand that in the place that he was in. And ultimately, though, in spite of what he did when he denied the Lord, ultimately, his faith didn't fail. Isn't that amazing? His faith didn't fail. Now, it may have disengaged for a season,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because remember, he not only denied the Lord before the servant girl, three times, and even cursed,
yeah.
Right? He's so fearful. Don't connect me with that guy, right? Because I don't see anything really good right now to be that close to him. And then he ran off and went back to fishing.
Yeah.
And he was never any good at fishing, obviously. Because every time Jesus showed up, he had to do a miracle to bail him out, right? I don't know why the guy kept going back to fishing. Do anything, man. Get a job at Chick-fil-A. If we're going to have a faith that doesn't fail, we're going to have to be diligent to imitate the faith of our forefathers. That's what Hebrews tells us. It says this, we're to be imitators of those who through faith and patience, which is another word for endurance, inherit the promises. Don't you wish it just said faith?
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. In faith and in a quick moment. Now, faith and patience, you will inherit the promises of God. Yeah. But here's the thing. Paul wrote also to the Corinthians, but yet the promises of God are yes. Amen?
Amen.
They're yes to us. And our response is amen to that. Amen?
Amen.
We honor the Lord when we walk and live by faith, because living by faith is believing in and trusting Him. And ultimately, we're actually trusting His Word. Let's just say I was going to meet some of you somewhere, and you're saying, where is Rick? He said he would be here. And if what if somebody said, well, you never know with Rick, he probably won't show up. What are you saying? My word's not good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know he said he would come, but you know how he is. Half the time he didn't show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we got to be really, really careful, because it's dishonoring God when we don't take Him at His word.
Wow. That's
because the scripture is called His word. Right?
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
We even call it the Old and the New Testament.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
This new covenant is His last will and testament to us. Yeah. It's His word, and He is faithful. Say He's faithful.
He's faithful.
So one of the most honoring things we can do is activate our faith for the promises of God. Peter describes these promises as precious and magnificent. And here's my favorite part. And they pertain to everything to life and godliness. Think about that. Everything about life and godliness is in the promises of God for you. And they're precious and they're magnificent. Now let me explain why they're precious and magnificent. The new covenant is ratified in the blood of Jesus. We understand that you can't have covenant without the shedding of blood. You can't have redemption without the shedding of blood. Yeah. There's the blood that purchased us, but it's not just that He purchased us, but He established a covenant.
Amen.
The Word of God, amen?
Yeah.
He established a covenant with us in His blood. So it's a legal covenant, right? It's legal through the blood. We have that kind of access.
Right.
But here's another thing that's important. Hebrews says it's enacted upon His promises. Get that? It's made legal by the blood. It's activated by the promises that God gave to us. So the most honoring thing you can do and I can do is believe Him. Amen?
Amen.
Stand on His word and believe Him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the best part I love about the part of the blood being connected to the covenant is the blood of Jesus still speaks.
Amen.
It's an eternal sacrifice. There's not going to be any other. Right?
Yeah.
It's once and for all. He paid the price. And so therefore the covenant is eternal.
Yeah, that's right.
And so here we are 2,000 years later and we can believe the same thing the early church believed.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
If we can't, then we can't believe any of it. If we can cherry pick verses out that we don't think apply anymore. And so that's what we have to get to that place. Go with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. Now, I know you know verse 28 really well, but I want to read past verse 28. Let's start with 28. Let me read a little further and show you something. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. How many of you know that?
Yes.
To those who what? love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to who? The image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among, what's it say?
Many
brethren. Please get that. Many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Now that doesn't mean nobody's against us. What it means is by comparison, nobody's against us.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
Everybody understand that?
Yes.
We have an enemy. We have an adversary. That's clear. But if God's for you, you're okay.
Yeah.
You got this. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He, now please get this part. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us
all things?
So does it cost me anything? The only thing he asks of me is to believe. Amen?
Wow, amen.
He received those things through faith. He freely gives us all things. Please get this. Because he didn't spare his Son. He didn't spare his Son. In fact, what does it say? He was delivered over for us. Does everybody understand what he was delivered over for? Amen? He bore our sicknesses and pains and our infirmities. He was wounded, pierced through his hands, feet, and his side for our sins and transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen? Yeah. The chastening you and I deserve fell upon him.
Yeah.
That you and I may be at peace with God.
Praise God.
And by the stripes, the 39 lashes that ripped open our Savior's flesh, his very back, we were healed.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. He was delivered over for you and me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I honor the cross, not only because I died an old life and believe in him, obviously that's where it starts.
Yeah.
But I honor him, but I also believe for everything that he died for and suffered for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he freely gives us those things. Who does he give them to? Those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, if you love God and you're born again and you're saved, you're called.
Amen.
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 Not everybody believes that. They think, well, I'm not called to the ministry, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Amen.
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 Your whole life is to be a ministry unto others.
Come on.
Y'all aren't shouting me down, but it's okay. I love you. Will we be honest today to say that we all initially came to God by faith for something?
Yes. Yes.
Right? We came to be forgiven. We came to be born again. We came to be healed. Amen?
Yeah.
We came to get set free from our bondages. I mean, there's a list of things. And everybody in the Bible comes to him because we need him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To set us free and break things off of our lives. But can I tell you, the faith that really pleases God goes beyond that. The faith that really pleases God is the faith that is set on knowing him and loving him and is set upon saying, Lord, I want to live for your purposes. I want to live for the sake of the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
And your name's sake. Now, as Peter was being sifted, he tried to return, as I said, to fishing. And again, he's not very good at it. Jesus comes over and starts fixing breakfast on the shore. Isn't our Lord cool? Isn't he cool? He starts fixing breakfast and he hollers out there, how's the fishing going? He knew if Peter was in the boat, it wasn't going well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you try to do something you're not called to do, you won't do well at it. And so Peter, and he gives him the miracle catch again. Tells him to try the other side of the boat, whatever. And then Peter goes, oh my, it's the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
It's the Lord, you know, and he swims to shore. And we all know the story. If you love me, take care of my lambs. If you love me, tend to my people, right? And it's just beautiful how he restores Peter at that point. But here's what I want you to notice about the heart of the intercessor Jesus is he sought him out. He sought him out. He did pray for him. But intercession also seeks him out. And there's timing. He didn't immediately go to Peter. There's timing. But I believe when you start to understand that, I think we need to understand, even in the people we pray for, there's that time the Lord would say to seek them out. Amen?
Yeah.
That's a shepherding heart that we all need to have for others. Amen? Mm-hmm. To intercede. So I say it this way. Intercession prays, but intercession also pursues.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Again, in the timing of the Lord. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11. Mm-hmm. You ready? For I know the plans
I
that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare. And not calamity, but to give you what? A future, and to give you a hope, a purpose and a destiny. One translation, I like that. Mm-hmm. A purpose and a destiny. Mm-hmm. And you will call upon me, and you will seek for me, and you will find me. Amen?
Yes.
You seek and search for me with all your heart. And I love what it says, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. In other words, God said, I'll let you find me. If you come after me, I'll let you find me. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, and I'll restore you. And that's what it was all about. That's what that passage is all about. It's a beautiful passage, and I love it. But here's what I want to talk to you about today. We actually went there in our worship today. Faith seeks him. It's one thing to seek a healing. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to seek that breakthrough, that provision. But faith seeks him. Amen? Mm-hmm. Faith seeks the Lord. And you might say, well, do I have to have faith to seek him? I don't have any other way you can see it, because he's in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So you have to apply your faith. Amen?
Yeah.
See, the reason we like religion, the people that like religion, is it's got some kind of a form that they can just feel like they're touching something, but they're not. Because it's a form of godliness that has no power.
Yeah.
And no reality in the presence of God. But when people worship, we can worship God in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because it's in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And so we start to understand that. And here's the beauty of it. A person that seeks God will find out what God has for them to do in their lives. Mm-hmm. It opens up that purpose and that plan that God has for you. How many of you believe he has a good plan for us?
Yeah.
And he'll open that up. And this is why the Father seeks worshipers. There is no higher calling than to worship him.
That's it.
Amen? Mm-hmm. You may go out and win souls every day. God bless you. But the highest call of all is to seek God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. And so we have to understand the balance of that. To seek his face. To know him. Because remember, David was a man after God's own heart.
Yes.
Who will do all my will. See, the seeking of God is the priority. And then what happens is you'll find yourself wanting to do the will of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And that's important, because then we will make sure we're doing what God wants me to do, not what maybe somebody else wants me to do, or even what I want to do.
Yeah.
But Lord, your will be done for my life, and what is it that you have for me? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so there's no higher calling than that. But I was thinking about this week. There's no way. Now, we're to imitate those who went before us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the patriarchs and the matriarchs of our faith in the Old Testament. If we go all the way back, we go all the way back to Abraham, right? We go to Noah, right? We go back to these forefathers of our faith. And here's what I would present to you. How in the world could they even hear God like they did unless they were worshipers? There was no other way.
That's true. That's,
I mean, how else would they have known?
Mm-hmm.
You know, build an ark, go to a land you don't know where it is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is stuff that comes from intimacy with the Spirit of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's a heart after God. And can I tell you, we're told to imitate that kind of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I just want to believe that for all of you. They have hearts after God. Worship's just not religious ritual. I mean, I know you guys know that. But true worship is authentic. It's from the heart. And it's got to be done in faith, because it's in the Spirit. Okay? But you were created with a longing for the Lord. You really were.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, at times that longing seems kind of dampened. Right?
Yeah.
Life, situations, distractions, right?
Yeah.
You don't feel the longing. But the minute you get his presence, you start longing for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah.
I led worship for my brother in the church for years, several services every weekend, all that stuff. And there were many times I got up on that platform and I didn't want to worship. I was tired and I was weary. But man, the minute the Spirit filled the room, I just got the longing within me just turned on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just something about it. So if you have that, I bless you. And actually everybody does, because he placed eternity in every man's heart.
Yeah.
The thing of it is we don't really get to that. If you can dampen it enough to where you don't ever really sense it anymore, but it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
that's
there.
Awesome.
It really is there. That's why the psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see. The Lord is good."
Yeah.
I can describe him to you, but would you please taste him?
Amen.
Amen. I can tell you how good he is, but will you taste him? Amen?
Yeah.
And another time the psalmist said, "As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee."
Yeah.
I went King James on you there. Longeth after thee. My soul longs for you. And then he goes on to say, "My heart and my flesh, even my physical body, longs for the Lord." How many of you have ever enjoyed, even in your flesh, the presence of God?
Yeah.
I have. I was just felt it come over. He just came over me right now.
Amen.
He is honoring that because he knows I love it.
Amen.
I love to feel God.
Amen.
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 And I'm telling you, it's something, it's wired in you as his creation.
Yes, right.
To worship. You were created to worship him.
Amen.
What's the song? I was created to worship.
That's right.
There is no one like you. Would you join me? I was created to worship. There is no one like you in all of the earth, in all of the heavens. Hallelujah. We need to remind ourselves. Well, what did Jesus say? Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts. Amen? After righteousness, for he shall be what? Satisfied or filled. And so God will satisfy. He's the only one that can satisfy that. When Jesus was sharing about the Holy Spirit, he said, he's been with you, but he's getting ready to be in you. Amen? And we know at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled them mightily. But he also said, I won't leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And he wasn't talking about the second coming. We've talked about this many times. He was talking about, I will come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right? And then he said, the world, get this, the world will no longer see me, but by the Spirit abiding within you, you will see me. Mm-hmm. And that's where the psalmist took us in worship today. That was our cry all morning. Lord, we want to see you. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I promise, I never talked to them about what I'm going to preach. And you also, he said, would know the love of the Father. How many of you are glad to know you're loved by the Father? Amen? And those who are obedient, walk in obedience, he said, I will disclose myself to them. Hallelujah. I love that legal term in the courtrooms. I want full disclosure.
Full disclosure.
Lord, I want some full disclosure. Lord, disclose yourself to me.
Amen.
I'm like anything I've ever known. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will disclose himself to the worshiper, to the seeker, not to the casual observer. Amen.
Amen.
You have to worship and press into him. What I'm sharing with you today is more, please hear my heart, it's more than just seeing a miracle. It's seeing the Lord. Amen. It's tapping into something that changes us.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
I love to see miracles. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to see more. I love miracles. I love breakthroughs like that. I love to just shout and dance with the best of you. But I'm telling you, it's seeing him. It's something he's longing.
Right.
There's a longing in our heart to know him.
Yeah.
And obviously, you all know what I'm talking about with the eyes of our heart, right?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
With the eyes of our heart. So if we'll do that, he will allow us to find him. Go with me to Hebrews 11:6. Let's look at the faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Amen?
Amen.
And that he is a what?
Rewarder
of those who seek him. Now, go to verse 7. By faith, everybody say by faith.
By faith.
Noah, being warned in reverence. Now, I looked that up. That word there for reverence, this means humble worship. So Noah was a worshiper, right?
Yeah.
He was being warned in his humble worship. He prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Let's go to the next verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was not, which he was to receive for an inheritance. Get this. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Some of you do that if you don't have your GPS with you.
What a bump.
By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, notice this, with Isaac and Jacob, who were what? Fellow heirs of what?
Same.
The same promise.
Wow.
Remember, it's the same spirit of faith.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen?
It's the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Hallelujah. By faith, Noah in his reverent worship built an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed the calling of God and set out. Are you with me?
Yeah.
By faith, Abraham's descendants, Isaac and Jacob, became heirs of the same promise and walked in the same spirit of faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Does that help you?
Yes.
Does that help you understand? This is what God's saying to us. These men of faith had to have been worshipers. How else would they hear God like that?
Yeah.
With that kind of clarity. Do you realize the detail he gave Noah to build that ark?
Mm.
Amen?
Yeah.
This is powerful. That, I like to put it this way. Especially like Abraham, Noah, some the early ones. They were like faith trailblazers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were faith pioneers. They didn't have anybody to imitate.
That's right. Right.
Amen. They were setting the standard. Hallelujah. Yeah, right. That's why Abraham's called the father of our faith.
Amen.
Amen. Father Abraham. Because he set out and told, that's how you walk by faith. Amen.
Amen.
And so God's challenging us that. Because you don't build an ark because that's a cool idea.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I think I'll build it up? Especially when there's no water.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't Oceanside building that.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he was, how are you going to get that thing in the water, right? Yeah. Obviously, it was a God idea. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
You don't set out walking into nothingness.
Right.
Unless you know God sent you there. Amen?
Yeah, amen?
And so this is what we have to embrace. Abraham was no doubt a worshiper. Look with me at Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. How many of you know, basically he's saying, leave everything familiar, right?
Yeah.
Leave everything familiar, okay? And go to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And if you read verse 4, it says, so Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken. And he wasn't going for a stroll. He wasn't just going out for a little walk in the evening. Okay, got to get in my steps in. He was walking in the direction of his purpose.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen?
He was walking in the direction of his purpose that God had shown him in the spirit when he's worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. Later in Genesis 15, the Lord appeared to him again in a vision. This time he said to him, do not fear, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Mm-hmm. Notice that he said, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Abraham was very, very blessed. He was very, very blessed and prosperous. But he said, I am your reward.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
When David was asked, what would he want? He said, the only thing I ask is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
Yeah.
And behold the beauty
Hallelujah.
Of the Lord. Remember?
Yeah.
David was a king. He'd have anything he wanted. But he said, that's all I want. And that's the way our hearts have to be in our seeking of God. I love, after the Lord appeared to Abraham in the vision in Genesis 15, it says that he took him outside the tent. He was in a tent, obviously meeting him, it's his meeting place. He came outside the tent and he said, look up at the stars and count them if you can. And of course he couldn't. They were innumerable. And he said, so shall your descendants be. There was another time he had him look at the sand on the seashore, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so shall your descendants be.
Yeah.
God was trying to make, he said, your descendants are going to be a multitude. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's going to be an innumerable multitude. And I think sometimes we've lost sight of what harvest is supposed to look like.
Mm, yeah.
The Lord spoke the same to his sons, Isaac, and to Jacob. Amen? I'll never forget the first time that I was at White Post on the Navajo Indian Reservation, which is near Shonto. And up there, we were at about, I think, around 7,500 or more feet in the air. No light and no pollution. And if I could, the stars are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks almost like something fake. There's so many.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You look up and you just go, whoa. Because see, in the city lights, we don't see them.
Right.
Yeah. That's
we just see a few, right? And maybe we see a planet and go, oh, that's a bright star, you know, something like that. But I mean, for the most part, we just don't see very many.
Right.
But when you get up at that altitude, when you get up at the clearness of the air, right?
Yeah.
How many know God's calling us up to a higher altitude, right?
Yeah.
But how many have ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can go to the White Mountains, you can go to Flagstaff, you can go to a reservation, and you can look up and it's just, you kind of go, whoa.
Yeah.
You just go, whoa. I would walk around sometimes at night and say, oh, God, you're awesome.
Yeah.
And I realize this is what Abraham's looking at. And that's intimidating, because as he got older, he had never even had one child. He remember what God showed him. See, God's wanting us to get our imagination into this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You might be saying, what does this have to do with me, Pastor Rick? Which one of you said that?
Okay.
Well, let me say this before I go to the next verse. This is why we need to be open to dreams and visions.
Yeah.
God wants to show us things. Amen?
Right.
Amen.
But it's not going to come to the casual...
That's right.
Christian lifestyle. It's going to come to the worshiping lifestyle where God can show us things like that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Where we can hear him clear to say, come on out of the tent. I want to show you something.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Go to Galatians 3. Let me just show you how this connects to us, because I think a lot of times we hear something from the Old Testament like this and we think, well, yeah, but that was them. Well, let's look at this. Look at Galatians 3, verse number 5. So then does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? How many know the answer to that question? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure, now please get this, that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Okay? The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Everybody know the Gentile, the word there is just anybody else outside of Judaism, okay? All right? Everybody cool? Some translations say the nations, all the other ethnicities, okay? Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying all the nations, okay, will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Any believers in here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The good news was preached to Abraham before Jesus had even come. The series goes on. This has always been about Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
It's always been about Jesus. Amen. Yes. And if we're of faith, we are blessed like Abraham.
Yes.
Amen.
As children of Abraham. Could this really be true?
Yeah.
Could this really be true?
Yes.
Well, go in that same chapter to verse 26. Same chapter 3 of Galatians. Go to verse 26. For you are all sons of God through what?
Faith
in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, say it out loud with me, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! A couple of you got it?
Yeah.
Through our faith in Jesus, we are descendants. We ought to be imagining a multitude too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen?
We also ought to be in that place. The way it's worded in the New Covenant is men and women from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. Amen?
Amen.
A great harvest of souls.
Hallelujah.
So I'll challenge you. What are you dreaming about?
Come on. Multiple.
What are you imagining? Amen? I mean, Freedom Gate Church, we need to imagine bigger.
Yes.
A lot bigger. Hallelujah. What God wants to do. The fields are ripe unto harvest.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our forefathers have extended the baton of faith to us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I know I'm talking a lot right now about harvest and the overall scope of things for believers and the church and things like that. But let me just challenge you with this also. How do you respond when a situation happens, even in your life personally? Financially, physically, relationally. Even in that, you should go to the promises of God. Amen?
Yes.
You should go to the honor God, honor His Word. Now we know the great cloud of witnesses is revealed to us in the book of Hebrews, right? It's all the patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith. They make up this great cloud of witnesses. And the Bible says, even though they were approved of their faith, they didn't receive everything that they were even believing for. They received a lot, but they didn't receive it all because, see, they were not in the dispensation of time when Jesus had come.
Yeah.
But they were pointing to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says their faith will not find its fulfillment or completion except in us who are in Christ.
Wow.
So that's why they're like a cloud of witnesses that are saying, and they're passing, if you could picture it this way, a baton to us in faith. Amen? To keep the race running. Amen?
Amen.
To fulfill everything. It goes all the way back to Abraham.
Yeah.
Think about that. And it asking us to go, by the way, those are the last couple of verses of Hebrews 11. If you want to write that down and look at it. I believe we're alive today to extend the vision.
Right.
I believe the reason we're on the planet today, as long as we're on the planet, is it's to extend the vision of a great multitude.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many people would ask me, well, Pastor, we're seeing a lot of an increasing of the signs of the day of the Lord coming, right? And the end of the age. I agree, we are. We're seeing that. But we're not the first generation that thought we were on the precipice of His coming. He may be. But the point is, it doesn't change what we're believing for.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All I need to do is be ready.
That's right.
When it's time, I lift up my eyes and my Redeemer is drawn nigh. But in the meantime, I'm believing for something much bigger.
Amen.
That our Lord will receive the reward of His sufferings. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we're believing for at this time. So there's increasing signs. This is, I believe it's why in the age we live in, we need courage. Yes. Amen? We need to take courage, as we talked about last week, and we need to have that endurance to press through, because it's those that endure to the end that shall be saved. So it's important to understand it. So I just want to say to you also, it doesn't matter how young you are or old you are, we can walk in this faith for God.
Amen?
Amen? In fact, he says, for all of us that are older, we can hang on to this, that he will renew our youthfulness as an eagle. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen? I mean, look at our patriarchs. When did Abraham get the child of promise, Isaac? He was 100.
Yeah.
Sarah was 90. When Caleb took his mountain, he was 85.
Wow.
And he said to Joshua, give me my mountain. He said, I feel as good today, I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
See, that's the power of having purpose in your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen? God didn't want us to retire, he wants us to refire. Amen?
Yeah.
Go for the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some of you youngers are looking at me like, going, please, old man, move on. Anyway, Jesus forever lives to intercede for us. He's praying that our faith will not fail. But we got to be, let me just say this. We know we need to set aside every encumbrance, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to set off to, we know that.
Yeah.
But what else do we have to do? Fix our eyes on Jesus. It's all about worship. Because he's the one that's going to finish our faith that he authorizes. And we just got to keep looking into him. Amen?
Yes.
And if you'll do that, your faith won't fail.
Amen.
You won't grow weary. You won't lose heart. You won't throw in the towel and walk away. We've all been there, guys. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, it, like never before, it's time to get back in the race.
Yes.
Five things quickly I want to give you that if you'll be diligent about, your faith won't fail. You ready? Number one, we just talked about it. You have to worship. That's got to be your number one priority, to worship God. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
And even as we were going prophetically in worship today, it's about seeing and having vision and hearing and understanding. God's wanting, I believe we have so lowered the standard of what we think worship is.
Yeah.
But God's wanting to do something powerful in our lives. And we just need to do that. And let me just say this to you. You need to have a set time. I know worship is a lifestyle, but the word for worship is not lifestyle. It was a time to get before God and to seek his face. Amen? Hello?
Amen.
Like for us, it's the secret place of prayer and our gathering together, right? It, for Moses, he had a tent. He would meet God. It was called the tent of meeting.
Yeah.
He would go up on a mountain. He would meet with God. Those were critical times.
Yeah.
And I love Joshua. Remember when Moses left the tent of meeting and Joshua stayed a little longer.
Yeah.
In the glory of God. Maybe that's why he was the one that led him into the promised land. I don't know. But there's just something about that. Even Jesus, think about our Lord, the Son of God, what did he do? He rose up every morning before dawn and would pull away into the garden to be with the Master.
Yeah.
And he would worship the Father and pray to the Father. And the Bible says it was his custom.
Yeah.
It was his habit to do so.
Yeah.
How do you know? We need to establish a worship custom in our lives. Y'all with me?
Yes.
So I know I've already talked a lot about that on the worship.
Yeah.
Here's where I think people get confused. I've told you this. The word means to bow and kiss. Very simply. It's a word in your Greek, proskuneo. It's to bow and kiss. Like you would with royalty, to kiss the hand. Right? Okay? Remember I've taught you this. Okay, you might say, well, how do we do that in the spirit? Well, obviously, you can still bow your body. And there's times I bow. Especially on my own in prayer closet. I'll get on my knees and things like that. But how many know the bowing is important? It's the bowing of the heart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the yieldedness of the heart to God. But there's times even in that you'll feel like you just want to drop to your knees, right?
Right.
Or sometimes I'll just feel in my heart, I just want to just honor him and I'll just kind of bow like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to tell you how to do it. But what I'm saying is don't get hung up on the physical. It's a heart thing.
Yeah.
It's about a heart being humble and yielded to the Lord. Because
right.
if my heart is not bowed, why would he show me something? Because
right.
if I'm full of pride,
right.
it wouldn't matter if he showed me. I wouldn't do it.
Right.
right? I wouldn't do it unless my heart was bowed. Amen?
Yeah.
And then you might say, well, how do you kiss him? Because he's not physically here, and you don't kiss your pastor. I know you're disappointed, but you know. Well, how do you kiss him? You know, I'm convinced you kiss him with the fruit of your lips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what it says? The fruit of your lips. That praise and thanksgiving and that adoration. You're kissing him when you're singing love songs to him.
Yeah.
Lord, I love you. You are kissing him.
Yes.
Because it's the fruit of your lips. Does that make sense? Because remember, we worship in the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Does that help you a little bit?
Yes.
And as we do that, we're going to find there's realms in the Spirit that we've never gone.
Yeah.
Again, the things our eyes have not seen, the things our ears have never heard, things our hearts have never imagined, but God has already prepared it for those who love Him.
Amen.
So that's the first one. Number two. Only five. We must, like Abraham, grow strong in faith. Quit worried about trying to be bigger in faith and be strong in faith. Amen? Because all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. But that mustard seed has to endure. Amen? And so we strengthen our faith by abiding in the Word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Everybody understands that, right? We also grow strong in our faith because our father Abraham, he grew strong in his faith, giving glory to God.
Yes.
You'll never go wrong just giving praises to God. Your faith will get stronger. If you start murmuring and complaining and fretting and wringing your hands, your faith will just shrivel up. Just start praising God, even in the midst as when it's just nothing but a sacrifice, and you'll grow stronger in your faith. Amen?
Amen.
You really will. But another one that we don't talk about a lot, we should, probably more than we do, you strengthen your faith by praying in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jude says, build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So that's one of the ways. So everybody got that?
Amen.
The Word of God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Praise and glorifying God, the fruit of your lips, right?
Yes.
Kiss on Him.
Yeah.
Amen? You can do that driving down the road or whatever.
Yeah.
I know people think you're crazy, but everybody's driving around talking to their dashboard anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody knows what you're doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You shouldn't be ashamed of Him anyway. You love Him. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And then strengthen your faith, praying the Holy Spirit. We'll grow from the third thing. This is important. Be diligent to consecrate your heart and to prepare. Everybody say prepare.
Prepare.
Faith prepares for what you're believing for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're believing for something, if you really believe it, you'll prepare for it. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Won't you? If you really believe it, you're going to get ready. And that's really important. By faith, Noah, in his reverent worship, prepared an ark. You see that? That proved that his faith was real because he prepared an ark. Isaiah said, shout for joy, you barren one. Shout for joy and lift up praise and break forth, for your spiritual sons and daughters are coming forth.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen?
And what did he say next? Enlarge the place of your tent. Mm. In other words, make room. Make room for what you're believing for. Does that help you?
Yes.
There's always something to prepare. Sometimes it's spiritual preparation of our own hearts, whatever it may be. But consecration is important too. Joshua goes to the people. It's time to cross over to Promised Land. He says to them, in 3 days we're crossing over. Make preparations. Get yourself ready because we're breaking camp and we're never coming back here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then on the night before, he said, consecrate your heart. For tomorrow, the Lord's going to do wonders among you. How many of you know, if we really look at the scripture with an open heart, preparation is spiritual and in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's both. So I really encourage, if you're believing for something, you'll get practically ready for it, but also spiritually ready for it. Number four, by faith, start lifting up your eyes to see. Amen?
Amen?
Where you work, where you go to school, where you live, the city you drive around in, start lifting up your eyes and seeing the harvest that is there. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus said what? He said, you say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. But behold, I say you lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're already white in the harvest. Hallelujah. So he's wanting us to see something that we weren't seeing before. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I would encourage you in this. When you get an opportunity to get outside the city, just go do a little stargazing. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit before God and worship and look at the stars.
Yeah.
And ask Him to help you understand the vastness of what He wants to do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The vastness of what God wants to do and how He wants to do that. Here's the thing. If we don't see it by faith, we won't ever be motivated to go get it.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
If you don't see it by faith, you'll never go get it.
That's good.
And you certainly won't prepare to go get it because you don't really believe you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. The last one is by faith, make a move.
Yeah.
Move it, move it. By faith, make a move. Be diligent to take action. Remember, by faith, Abraham obeyed God, going to a place. Everybody say a place.
A place.
Which he would receive for an inheritance. And you might say, well, he didn't know where he was going. But he began moving in the direction of his inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? When God spoke, you start moving in the direction
right.
of your inheritance. You go, you move towards your faith. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Is that how?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. He made a move with only a promise. He didn't know where he was going. That's awesome. A dear friend of ours and a partner in our ministry, who used to live in Memphis and go to the church there, she now lives in South Carolina. She sent Susan and I a little audio text of a Texan who was a missionary in Mexico. He was just sharing some of his missionary stories, and they were all full of faith. He's a faith guy. You know, just one tremendous act of faith after the other, and God's wonderful right arm being extended. But when he was young, his church obviously was very much involved in the charismatic, word of faith, full gospel type expression. And so he said all the big guys came in with the conferences and all of that. And he said, I would always volunteer to drive. Because he said, and one year that he said they gave me, Joel Osteen of Lakewood, his father started Lakewood. Mm-hmm. And he was a very strong man of faith. And his name was John Osteen. And John, one year this brother, I remember the brother's name. I wish I were the missionary. I didn't know him. I doubt you would know him either. But I know they know him in Mexico, but just don't know him up here. But anyway, he said, I'm driving John around. He said, I purposely was a quiet guy. Because I knew the men of God, they were praying, they were teaching, and they were ministering. And a lot of times, they just want to get in the car and be quiet.
Yeah.
They didn't want to yak, 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 yak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so he said, so I purposely wouldn't say a whole lot unless they engaged in conversation with me. And he said, Pastor John Osteen looked over at me, and he said, you know, God is a really good checkers player. And that's all he said. And he said, I kept driving. I'm imagining that's what he was doing. I mean, I was listening to an audio. He said, I kept driving. And he said, miles and miles went by. And I finally go, God's a good checker player? He explained to him, he said, when you play checkers, you got to understand, you can't move until it's your move. He said, but when God makes a move, there's always a move that you have to make.
Good.
So when you make a move and then God responds, then I got news for you. There will be another move.
That's it.
Hello?
Yeah.
And how many know? Faith to faith.
Amen.
He orders our steps, right?
Yeah.
He gives us these steps.
Yeah.
These are steps of faith.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so good. It's so blessed. Then he began to tell these stories of miracles. One time, they didn't have any food at all, and they had an old icebox, we called them back then. It was a refrigerator, but they would freeze up, and you would have to defrost them and get all the ice out of them.
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, folks are going, what? We're not talking about ice cubes. We're talking literally ice would just form a big block of ice, and you'd have to defrost that sucker. And the Lord told him, he said, Lord, you're a man of God down here. I don't care if I am down here in Mexico. I should be eating, right? He said, Lord, I just come to you today. I know you provide all of my needs. And he just felt the Holy Spirit say, well, why don't you go get ready? Everybody say, make a move. And he went and he defrosted that fridge. He cleaned it all out and got it ready. He said about 2 hours after that, there was a knock at his door. And he goes to the door, and a lady that he had met at the market said, the Lord told me to buy you some groceries.
Amen.
And I had to find out where you live. And he goes, come on in with my answer to prayer. And she walked in, and it was not just like a box of cornflakes. It was meat and chicken and all kinds of staple items that they needed. He said, I filled up that fridge.
Yeah.
He said, but you know what? God looks at us and we're trying to pray and believe. He said, but you got to make your move. And his move was to prepare for the miracle that was coming in. Didn't that bless you? And I wish I could tell you some more of the stories, but we don't have time for that because we are on time limit in this building. But the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by God, right? So God does give us these faith steps to take. Because faith without works, faith without any corresponding action is dead. Right? Being by itself. Could it be we think God's not doing anything, and the problem is we haven't moved. We haven't made a move. We haven't activated our faith. And sometimes we've got to realize, even after we've done that, there's steps along the way that bring the breakthrough, that bring the miracle, that bring the supply, that bring the healing or whatever. Right? And as we do that, we walk with God. Most of us know the first miracle recorded that Jesus did was turning the water into wine. Remember? At the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Jesus is there with his disciples. His mother comes up and says, they have no wine. Or otherwise, they ran out. These numbskulls ran out of wine. And Jesus, she didn't say that. And he goes, something a southern boy would never say to his mother, woman, what does this have to do with me? It's not my time. And she didn't argue with him about theology, about his time to start doing miracles. She turns around, get this, she says to the servant, she goes, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Everybody say, do it.
Yeah.
And she walks off. And so Jesus goes, get those common stone water pots. I mean, they were huge. They had a lot of water. Fill them up to the brim. That's a job. That took them a while. And then after that, they had another move. He said, now go take a ladle and dip out and take it to the head waiter. How many like to do that? It's bad enough to do the physical part. Now you're going to go with what you knew you put in there was water, right? And you're going to go take it to your boss and say, you know, here, try this wine. And of course, we know the story. It had been miraculously transformed into wine, right? Hello?
Yeah.
Are you all with me?
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
And you got to understand that none of that would have happened without somebody making their move and obeying the Lord. So we're not in faith if we're not moving and taking steps.
That's right.
We're just sitting around talking about faith.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
I'm talking to me too, guys. I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we're just standing believing it. Sometimes you just got to start moving things.
Yeah.
I remember we decided, we knew we needed to get out of that small space we were in, and we knew we needed to start making movement toward our vision, and we got to find a way to break out of everything else that COVID and everything else brought the all the kingdom of God. Yeah. But we're going to have to make a move. And Marvin and Irene, they started moving and asking and found out we could use this place. And there's a well, we got to do something. Well, guess what? We had to empty that building and get it ready and get out of there and move some things around. But as you move, things open up.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I don't believe we're going to be here that long. Because I believe we're going to keep moving. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen. You've got to move it. Move it.
Move.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, as we pray today, I just want to encourage all of you in your faith. I want to encourage you in your faith. To remain diligent, stay before the Lord, worship God first and foremost. Amen?
Amen.
Do what you need to do. If God's giving you an instruction, follow through with it.
Yes.
You heard the guy say, I just need to hear from God. No, you just need to do the last thing he told you to do.
Yeah.
Many, many times, that's what we need to hear. Because if God really would just come down and get in your face and speak to you, he'd say, you didn't do what I said last time. Why do you need another word?
That's right.
Right? And I'm talking to me too. And we just have to move beyond that. I just encourage you. Your faith really has not failed you. You've just allowed it to be disengaged. Well, let's engage it again.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Because every one of us have a measure of faith.
Yeah.
And the potential, with the spirit of faith on you, the potential is above and beyond all that you could ask or think.
Woo.
That's the potential
Amen.
Of what God wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
He's going to bring many sons to glory.
Amen.
Many
Woo.
Descendants. He paid the price. God did not spare him so we can freely receive everything that Jesus died for. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Just think about this though. In all of your doing and your preparation, Jesus is praying for you and for me that our faith won't fail.
Amen.
And doesn't that bring you comfort?
Wow.
He's praying our faith will not fail. So I encourage you with that today. And if you feel like at one time you were kind of running the faith race, I just encourage you, activate your faith again. Because that measure you have didn't leave. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. I started this today. I want to come full circle. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. You're still qualified because nothing has qualified you. Anything to do with what you did or didn't do, it was the blood of Jesus and the integrity of the covenant. The blood of Jesus and the integrity of the covenant. So you can activate your faith.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he says to you today, I don't care what you've done. He said, because of the blood and the sacrifice, I will remember your sins no more.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. One more thing. If Peter could return, you can return.
Amen.
Come on, guys.
Amen.
He screamed and cursed and denied Jesus three times after 3.5 years of walking around seeing miracles.
Amen.
Then he went back to fishing for fish.
Yeah.
What an insult to the prophetic word of God. Because what was his prophetic word? I will make you fisher of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, man, any of us can return at any time.
Yes.
It's the mercy of God. That prodigal had squandered everything.
Yes.
His whole inheritance, he squandered it, and he was in a pig pen slopping hogs, as we say in the South.
Yeah.
Amen? You couldn't get any lower than that for a Jewish boy.
No.
Right?
No.
You don't even eat pigs.
Right?
No. He's slopping hogs, and he came to his senses. So I think God's going to say to us, let's come to our senses and get back in faith.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. And let's walk with God, because the just shall live by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. I want to pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and we know that it is written in your word that when we turn our hearts toward Jesus, the veil is removed, so that we can behold your glory. And I pray, Jesus, you would stir the longing in every one of our hearts right now.
Yes.
Would you just ask the Lord to stir your heart?
Yes.
Just ask him. Just pray with me right now. We're all family right here today. Pray this with me, in fact. Jesus, disclose yourself to me.
Show me your glory.
Those things I've never beheld before. Grant me the grace to prepare. To prepare for what it is I'm to believe for. And to consecrate my heart to your plans. To your purposes. For my life and for this church. Open the eyes of my heart. To see the great harvest that is ready. Say, I believe. The harvest is ready. Let me see it, Lord.
Let me see it, Lord.
Lord, I pray for my friends this morning, and I ask you to fuel and inspire their imagination.
Yes.
To dream again and to envision what the Holy Spirit would rest upon our hearts to see. Your will being done here as it is in heaven. Your will being done in their family as it is in heaven. Your will being done in this city, in this metro area as it is in heaven. Your will being done in our nation as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And even in the nations of the earth. Holy Spirit, come and release a fresh inspiration upon the imaginations of our hearts to dream again. Pray again with me, oh Lord. Order my steps.
Show me the steps
of faith. And grant me courage to take those steps and trust you. To no longer be paralyzed by fear or by excuses. Hallelujah, Lord, my God. Hallelujah, Lord, my God. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long. Presence, Lord. in your faith. Not only is it good to believe it and confess it and to establish your faith, that's awesome. But I just encourage you to take the time when you're praying like that just to get along with God and say, Lord, give me that same spirit of faith. You know, I don't want to be another faith failure. I don't want to be another faith that ran short. Amen. And just say, Lord, you said it's the same spirit of faith that my forefathers, and so I just cry out. If you haven't heard some of the messages of the last few weeks, we've kind of been building through the weeks, so go back and listen to them. Let the Word build your faith about being in faith. Amen. Because everything in the kingdom is received by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Am I good?
Yes.
Good. Hallelujah. I want to say this one thing. Can I pray one more thing with you? I know a lot of you pray in intercession for friends, co-workers, loved ones, a spouse, a sibling, you know, and so on, right? We all pray for people. We ask God to touch them. And I'll just say this. If you're praying out of love for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and not out of God get them, right? Out of condemnation. Because when you do that, that looses the enemy to bring condemnation. And that pushes them further away from God. Yeah. We have to pray with the loving heart of the Father, right? Like Jesus did.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have said, Peter, you scoundrel, I can't believe you're going to deny me.
Right.
I guess he couldn't believe it because he knew it was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he could have said, you know, you're no good to me if you would deny me. He didn't do that. The love just said, you're going to return and you're going to strengthen your brothers.
Amen.
That's the love of intercession. How do you want that? I want that. Because I've prayed the other way before. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
I prayed like, God, straighten them out.
Yeah.
Snatch them up, do something with them, you know? And I'm like, no. And then, but let me bless you with this. There will come a time, it very well could be you. It may not. But it very well could be you are going to be the one to pursue them eventually. Amen?
Amen.
It may be when they get way out on the water and they're fishing and they're doing the wrong thing and God's going to call you to lovingly come into their life. Amen? And even then, you're not going to get in their face and preach to them.
Yeah.
If anything, you're going to make breakfast.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to love on them and help them out and encourage them, right? Jesus helped Peter with the thing he wasn't called to do. Wow, isn't that great? Twice he did it. He helped Peter with something he wasn't called to do. But he helped him and he blessed him. And that got his heart. So don't give up on the loved one. Don't give up on that friend. Don't give up on that person you're interceding for. But just ask the Father. Say, Father, I want to pray your heart for them. I don't judge them. I could very well be right where they are if it wasn't for the grace of God. You know, I could very well be in addiction. I could very well have a broken marriage. I could very well be this or that. We could all fill in the blank. We could very well be there without the grace of God.
Yeah,
amen?
Right. That's right.
And so pray that way. And I believe God's going to start showing all of us ways to even eventually, however it may be, to pursue them. Okay? And just be open to what that looks like. It can be everything from a text to some social media communication, just reaching out, saying, I love you, how are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it could be actually getting with them face to face or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I just encourage you to keep your heart open and allow Holy Spirit to prod you.
Yeah.
Let Him prod you. He will. But if you've been praying out of love, please get this. If you've been praying out of love and pleading the power of the blood of Jesus on them, you don't have to be afraid to approach them.
Amen.
See, the enemy lied to you. Oh, man, you go, that guy's going to bite your head off. Right? Oh, that woman might even punch you. You know, whatever. No, don't even think that way. Amen?
Yeah.
Wait and do it in the tenderness of Jesus.
Yeah.
I bless you with that right now in the name of Jesus. I think this is important. Because I know everyone got to look at you. And I know you have friends, family members, loved ones that are either not walking with God or maybe even they themselves used to walk with God. And some of you are scared because you know they feel like their faith is so failed they could never get it back. So Lord, I pray today, grant us a grace to believe for the restoration of our friends and our loved ones, the restoration of our own family members, the restoration, Lord God, of these dear ones who we know have faith in you. And we pray, Father, today that their faith would not fail. But they would return and they would be violently connected to the body of Christ once again.
Yes.
And we pray that in Jesus' name. You receive it?
Yeah.
It's a grace. It's a grace. Just receive it. Amen?
Yes.
Receive it when you pray for them. Hallelujah. If there's anything you want prayer about today, obviously we have to start setting the room back up, okay? And getting ready. So any of you that want to help us do that, you're welcome. We'll find something for you to do. But in the meantime, I want to take just a few minutes for anybody that wants prayer for anything. We don't want to not have time to pray. But you need to come quickly before it gets so noisy in here I can't talk to you. So if you need prayer for anything, just come to the front. So I know you need prayer, and there's others that will help you pray too, okay? And then we'll pray and you're released. Amen. Goodbye to all our online family and community. We love you.
Bye.
Come see us. There's plenty of room for you. There's plenty of room for you right here, clearly. In Jesus' name, Lord, be God.
Let me show you.
She went to us.